This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Thursday. And we can't say it yet. We can't utter three of my favorite words in succession just yet. But we're getting there, and we're on the cusp of another football weekend. God, so quickly it goes. Sometimes, not often, but every now and then I think, can we stop this merry-go-round for just, I don't know, 3-4 days so I can get off? But it's great for business, and I do love football. It's just all-consuming, as you know by now, if you listen to the show for any length of time. Or you're one of the, 25 million people that tuned in for Sunday Night Football Week 3. Well, you get it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It is Thursday, September 26th, and one of the major storylines, even impacting sports fans, definitely impacting sports events, is, by the way, my stomach is growling so loudly, so if it happens to get picked up on the microphone, because these are really powerful microphones, just nod and smile. Maybe your stomach is also growling, and it's a reminder to you not to skip breakfast, because as they say, it's the most important meal of the day. Can you hear it, Pete? It's like,
not yet.
Oh, man.
I'm sure as the hour progresses, I will.
I do have a plum as well as some yogurt and blueberries that are in the fridge. So that'll be a bit of a pre-breakfast for me. The issue when I'm so close to a half marathon, which I have my next one on Saturday, and now the forecast is for rain. No, I don't think I'm doing it a second time in the rain. I did it last year in the rain and the wind, and it was awful. I mean, awful. There was really no joy in conquering the half marathon because it was just so brutal to be that soaked and that cold. And to have to run in squishy shoes for 10 of the 13 miles, it was terrible. But even though there's not supposed to be a tropical storm this weekend, if there's rain, I just don't think I'm going to... Is that terrible? I've not ever not shown up for something I signed up for like this, but I do not want to run in the rain.
Look, I'm surprised they run in the rain, these long marathons.
Well, this is a half, but part of the reason they do it is because they have to reserve their spot. This is, it's a city along the Hudson River, right, in New Jersey, and they have to reserve their spot over a year in advance, and their date over a year in advance. They close rows, that kind of stuff. But also, as I learned last year, it's one of the final qualifiers for the New York City Marathon, which, if I'm not mistaken, comes up in early November. Right. And so there are runners who are still attempting to qualify, and you can qualify based on time, or you can also qualify automatically if you run a specific number of events beforehand. And this is one of the events that you can get credit for if you run it prior to the New York City Marathon. And there's 9 of them, I think. So if this is the last one that you need, well, then they need to run it because people are using this to get into the New York City Marathon. Right,
I've had a few people I know that have done, that have had to do the 9 or whatever qualifiers, mm-hmm, for it. But even like a rain date, like just have like another date there that's like, hey,
yeah,
in case there's downpours, we can still run this and not get hurt.
I gotcha. Well, if they're going to run it in tropical storm like they did last year when we had to run into 50-mile-per-hour winds and torrential downpours, oof, I would say that if it's a light rain on Saturday, they're probably going to run it.
Yeah,
I just do not relish that again. So we'll see. I don't know that the remnants of Hurricane Helene are supposed to make it to the New York City area. That would be Philadelphia, New York City by Saturday. I haven't heard that. I think the storm is mostly supposed to stall over kind of the the central southeast, if that makes sense. But there are a lot of people and a lot of cities, a lot of homes and businesses in the path of the storm now. And it could be a Category 3 hurricane when it makes landfall. It's supposed to be Thursday, Friday. For that reason, there are already various sporting events that have been canceled or postponed. And that includes both college football as well as Major League Baseball. Kind of a big deal considering it's baseball's final week of the regular season. And the two teams that have had to postpone, Mets and Braves, they're pushing to next Monday. They're supposed to be done with the regular season by Monday. So yeah, right now what we know about Helene, it's a huge storm, very expansive wind field is what they call it. Not a windshield, but a wind field. And there's supposed to be winds across much of Florida into Georgia and the Carolinas. And so a lot of times it's not just the rain, though that's also a threat, especially when you're talking about coastal communities and the storm surge. But the wind is what brings the downed trees and the power lines and the damage to, of course, homes and property, but also the power outages that come along with that. And I've even seen warnings of catastrophic storm surge, what they call unsurvivable storm surge, that could be up to 20 feet, part of the Big Bend region. So that's Florida's Gulf Coast. I heard a weather forecaster on the news call it lightly inhabited. So that's good. It's not one of the more populated areas of the Gulf Coast, the Big Bend, but 15 to 20 feet. And I know that there are people listening in Florida. This is, and I'm looking at a map, Cedar Key, Horseshoe Beach, Panacea Park, Apalachicola. That area is where they're talking about Big Bend. And the, so it's the, it's kind of the bend in the coastline going up to the panhandle, if you're wondering. But yeah, the worst of it could be in that area. But also Atlanta is supposed to get hammered with rain and wind as you know, parts of Georgia and then on up into the Carolinas, who just had to deal with a hurricane, gosh, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago maybe. So yeah, these places have already been lashed with the rain and the winds, and now there's more coming. So please be safe. We're here tomorrow night as well, and then back on Sunday night following the NFL. Want to keep you company, and just hope that you and your families, your loved ones, your pets are all safe as Helene approaches. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's such a busy time of the year that I know any sports delays or postponements are inconvenient. Obviously, that's not what's important. And around the country, obviously, there's a lot happening, not just NFL and college football. Georgia and Alabama playing this weekend in week 5. That's a huge battle. Of course, it always is, but even more so this year. And then you've got Major League Baseball, final week of the regular season, as I mentioned, and WNBA playoffs that are going on. And so the Caitlin Clark, Indiana Fever experiment is done for the year, because despite putting up a great fight against the Connecticut Sun in Mohegan Sun, that's actually in Connecticut, they were within 1 point with 90 seconds to go in this game. Some missed opportunities in the final few possessions. The Fever were exhausted. Kelsey Mitchell, she had a bad turnover, another shot that didn't really make much sense. And over the final 90 seconds, they didn't look super organized. The Connecticut Sun have players that are experienced. They've been in the semifinals, I think, 6-7 years in a row. You're talking about a veteran team. Whereas not one of the Fever starters had ever been in the playoffs before, including Caitlin Clark, obviously, since she's a rookie. And the bench is not real deep for the Fever. And so these players, you could see at the end, Caitlin and Kelsey and some of the others, they were exhausted. I mean, they were sucking wind. Caitlin was pushing it as much as she possibly could, but she's played a lot of games with no breaks, and that included last night. So they fall short. She ends up with 25 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. And of course, what they mostly wanted to talk about when the game was done is about how proud they are of the season. But yeah, the loss certainly hurts.
Tough one, especially because we climbed all the way back in and definitely had our opportunities late. And then a few different miscues, and it's back to a 2-possession game, and we couldn't quite get over the hump there. So like AB said, like, it's a good get a little taste of, you know, what's possible for this organization and for this franchise.
Yeah, that's what happens with a lot of young teams, especially franchises that haven't been to the playoffs in a long time, so their rosters have completely turned over. And in the case of the Fever, they have one of the youngest rosters in the WNBA, back-to-back number one overall pick. So AB is Aaliyah Boston. She had 19 rebounds in last night's game, along with 16 points. And then Caitlin herself. I mean, we've seen a rookie year unlike any other, not just for the interest and the impact of her being on a court at a WNBA arena near you, but also the number of rookie records that she has set. I mean, she's completely rewritten the books when it comes to both points and assists, but she says she's a really hard grader, and so she's not going to give herself high marks necessarily.
I'm a tough grader. I feel like I had a solid year, but for me, the fun part is, like, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface, and I'm one that's nitpicking every single thing I do, and I know I want to, you know, help this franchise get even better, help my teammates get even better, be better for my teammates, and I know there's a lot of room for me to continue to improve. There was a lot of things that this group accomplished that, you know, a lot of people probably didn't think was possible, one, to start the season, and two, after the start we had to the season, so I feel like it'll be good for me to reflect back on everything that's happened. Like, I feel like I didn't even have time to really reflect on my college career because it ended so fast, and then I came here and was trying to give everything I could to this team.
And that's kind of the deal, right? Within a week after her second consecutive Final Four with Iowa, she was already drafted. And there was award seasons, and there were corporate sponsors and commercials to make. And just the rat race that she's been on since last October when Iowa's preseason began. If you remember, they had a game that was in the football stadium that attracted 55,000 people, that for an exhibition game. So it's been nonstop white hot spotlight for Caitlin Clark going back to last fall. For the first time in a year, we do not have any Caitlin Clark basketball games on the schedule. And I know people will miss her. That includes my mom. She has indicated that she will not play overseas. She will not play in another league during the WNBA offseason. Okay, so a lot of these athletes, in order to make money or just to continue playing, they will take offers in Europe or in the Far East. They'll go other places and continue playing through the offseason. Now, that does certainly include or increase the risk of injury. Sometimes your body needs a break. And in the case of Caitlin, that's definitely the case. That sounded funny. In the case of Caitlin, that's definitely what she needs. I even look back to the Olympic break and those 3 weeks. As much as U.S. fans wanted to see her wearing red, white, and blue in Paris, it was better for her to have the time off because she had not had any time off, again, going back to last October. And so we saw her come back a rejuvenated player. Her turnovers were down. Her assists were up. The second that she got back on the court, you could see the energy and just the explosiveness had returned. And she had a lot of extra enthusiasm that came out on the court. And I think for the Fever to see their potential, they started 1-8 and then went 3-10. And the question, I think a lot of media people were questioning whether or not fans would stick with them if they were unable to win. Well, the fans proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are with Caitlin Clark and they will continue to follow her, but they also did have something to root for. I was really hoping that Gainbridge Fieldhouse would be rewarded with a playoff game the way that the WNBA structures it. The first two games are at the higher seed, and if the lower seed survives one of those, well, then you get your own home game. So the final game would be at the lower seed, but that's not what happened. Sun were able to sweep them out, and we've got four big bats, four, you know, familiar teams into the semifinals: the Sun, the Liberty, the two-time defending champion Aces, and then the Minnesota Lynx. And Nafisha Collier, if you love women's basketball, she had a 42-point performance against the Mercury last night, so it was the second game of the doubleheader. Could be the end of Diana Taurasi's career. She was in the Olympics, yes. She's now in her early 40s, and there's a lot of talk that she's getting ready to walk away. So plenty of other storylines, but Caitlin Clark and the Fever have been the draw. These are some of the crazy numbers from her incredible rookie season. And we're talking about a rookie season we may never see again. Fever attendance alone, they sold out not just their own games in their own field house, but they also sold out, I think, every game or pretty much every game that they played on the road. And in some cases, the home team that was hosting the Fever would move to a bigger arena so that they could sell more tickets. So Fever attendance alone, up 319% this season. She was the unanimous Rookie of the Year after setting new records for most points, most assists, and most made threes by a rookie. But not just that. She's the only rookie ever to have a pair of triple doubles. She set a single game record for most assists with 19, and that's veteran or rookie, and also shattered the record for most assists in a season. Again, either veteran or rookie. She blew that one away. So she tore up the league with her passing abilities, not as much her shooting, though she had a couple of really impressive games, and I think shot better over the course of the year, the second half of the season, after kind of figuring out how teams would defend her. But what she knew is that when they were locked on her defensively to prevent the deep threes, the logo threes, to try to keep her from getting loose on the perimeter, she would pass. She would find the open man. She would set up her teammates to the point where they got used to the passes coming in from all angles. Behind the back, no look. You had to have your hands up. You play with a point guard like that one, and you need to be ready at all times. And her teammates got a lot better at that. So she set a ton of rookie records, but also veteran records. WNBA merch, the cool kids say merch. WNBA merch sales up 450%. Now that's league-wide, 450%. And she was number one. I actually saw this stat too, because there's all kinds of Caitlin Clark stats out there now. Among pro athletes, she is top five in merchandise sales. That includes Patrick Mahomes. That includes, pick a really popular player, Josh Allen. Pick anybody. She's top five. LeBron James. Trying to think of other, who would you say in baseball? Shohei Ohtani. She's top five among pro athletes. 450% increase in merchandise sales for the league this year. And then, and we've talked about this, greater than 100% increase in viewership for national games. And for the Fever games this year, they averaged 1.187, nearly 1.2 million viewers per game. There were other games that were far above that, but that's what they averaged. And so she's definitely turned the league upside down. And I know there's a lot to look forward to in the future, but she does need a break. I'm glad she's not going to play basketball over the fall and winter. She needs a break so she can recover. I heard her say post-game, she's planning on playing a ton of golf. Until it's too cold in Indiana, she's going to play golf. She said she's going to join I'm going to be a professional golfer. So good for her. She's got some plans to get away from basketball. And that's smart, too. We hear that a lot from coaches, from parents. Don't force your kid to play one sport all the time. Number one, he or she will get burned out. Number two, it puts too much stress and strain on those muscles that are used over and over. So good for her. She's going to be a professional golfer until it gets too cold in Indiana. So yeah, new legion of fans can certainly be excited about the future. That includes my mom. And you can hear the pride just even as they talk about what they accomplished this season.
There's a lot for us to, hold our heads high about. This team won 5 games 2 years ago. So we're a young group, a pretty inexperienced group. But we came together and I had a lot of fun playing with one another. And that's sometimes the worst part of it is like you feel like you're really playing your best basketball and then it has to end. But like I said, proud of this group, stayed resilient all year and had a lot of fun together.
it's not as though they just play for fun, but that is really important. You could see their team chemistry really develop over the course of the year as well. Congratulations to Caitlin on a rookie season that exceeded every expectation and set the league on fire. And I look forward to seeing what they've got for an encore in 2025. But we do not have any more Caitlin Clark games on the schedule until next May. Wow, people are going to miss her. She's been the talk of the town for all of the last year. Well, really 2 years, going back to their first Final Four, Iowa's first Final Four in a long time. My mom's so disappointed. Actually, I had to be really careful because I was watching the game live. She wasn't going to watch it until after it was done on the WNBA app. Yep, my mom's one of those fans. And so I had to be careful. She asked me if it was competitive. Do they have a chance to win? And I had to choose my words carefully so that I wouldn't give anything away. I wanted her to watch all the way through. But yeah, they rallied from double figures down in the first quarter, or in the second quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, again, they were down by 11 and managed to come back and take the lead. So a lot of fight in the Fever. Hashtag fever, fever. That's what I called it. Fever, fever this season. All right, straight ahead, we're getting set for week 4 in the NFL. Also, Kareem Hunt is back in the fold with the Kansas City Chiefs. And while we're looking at running backs, Aaron Jones is getting set to return to Lambeau. And yes, he does have plans to make the leap. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The shoulders, dumped to Jones, walks into the end zone, touchdown, Vikings! That's Aaron Jones' first touchdown wearing the colors. He's showtime!
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make your ride more enjoyable. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us. Good morning to you on a Thursday. Aaron Jones going to be returning to Lambeau Field this weekend. After 7 years with Green Bay, he's now a member of the Vikings. And boy, is he making a huge impact early on. In fact, when we talked to Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network on our Hump Show, she said one of the things that surprised her was how much of an impact he's made, how they've used him in so many different situations. She was expecting, of course, a boost, but not the kind of impact he's had through 3 weeks. And it's been incredible. Paul Allen with the call there on the Vikings radio network. He has nothing but love for his 7 years with the Pack.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I understand it's a business, and I've made a lot of great relationships there. I have a lot of respect for the people there and the relationships that I've made there. And it's nothing but love. I understand it's a business, and at some point, you got to make business decisions, and it may be a hard decision, but you got to make a decision and live with it.
Not bringing bitterness, but is bringing a chip on his shoulder. He would at least admit that.
I always had a chip on my shoulder since I've been playing football, so I feel like I've always been overlooked or underrated so I've always had a chip on my shoulder, and that's never going to change.
Well, good. he should play that way. He can play that way. Having been at Lambeau, not just for a regular season game, but also for a preseason game, understanding how much they love their Packers, I have no doubt the fans will shower him with a lot of welcome backs and cheers and appreciation and gratefulness because he was a terrific Packer. Remember, one year he led the league in touchdowns when he was there. So big deal for Aaron Jones to find a new home. I know the Packers were wishing that it would be with them. Packers fans were wishing it would be with them and that it's a little bit painful to see him in purple and white, especially with the Vikings being 3-0 right off the top. But still, I don't think they will boo him. I don't think that they will show him anything but love. And we'll see what happens because he's definitely thinking about how he will celebrate and where he will celebrate should he score a touchdown.
If you're not thinking about the end zone, you're thinking about the wrong thing. No, definitely. And I'm definitely leaping. definitely leaping up there. It depends on which end zone I'm scoring, but I'm either end zone is not too tall, so it is kind of high up there, but I can still get up there. So either one, hopefully there's a Vikings fan in one of them, so I'm going to jump up to them. I think that'll be a cool, pretty cool shot, pretty cool side-by-side with the two jerseys and doing the Lambeau leap.
So he's hoping that he can find some Vikings fans in either end zone. And I love the fact that he's already prepared for the wall and how high he has to leap. He says he can get up there. I wonder what Packers fans will do, though, if he's in his purple and white jersey and he jumps into the stands where there are green and gold Packer-clad fans.
I think they're going to back away.
Yeah, he might have to do that leap all by himself. The point is that you generally leap into the waiting arms of fans, but that may not be the case with him. All right, we know that right now Sam Darnold is good to go, dealing with a bruise, no other structural issues with his knee. Justin Jefferson as well. This will be a terrific show coming up on Sunday, and this is turning into one of the tougher divisions in football, so I'm anxious to see how it plays out. While we're talking about running backs making returns, Kareem Hunt is also returning to Kansas City, but he's a member of the Chiefs again. Now, remember, he was released middle of the 2018 season when the video surfaced of him shoving and kicking a woman outside his residence. I remember there was video in the hallway, and he had apparently misled the Chiefs. He told them a different story than what came out on the tape. So when the tape came out and it was clear he was going to suffer discipline at the hands of the NFL, they were ticked off because they believed that he lied to them and didn't tell them that there was a possibility that there could be some punishment or even that there was a video that might surface. Then he misled them. So they released him. But this was after he led the NFL in rushing as a rookie in 2017. He was a backup, sometimes a backup to a backup in Cleveland. And now he's back. And he's admitting that this is not what he ever thought would happen.
I didn't think I'd end up back here, but, you know, it's crazy how some things, you know, happen and work out.
Well, what changed with you in these last 6 years?
I was very young at that time, you know, 23. Had a lot of success going for me, and felt like I needed time to, you know, figure myself out and, you know, learn. And I felt like it was, you know, good for me to do that. I had an opportunity to go to the Browns and stuff, and that's my hometown, so I guess it worked out.
It did. I mean, he was mostly successful. He was mostly healthy while he was there. I looked up the stats, and there was one season where he was close to 500 yards rushing. He fit in, to be sure, because they wanted to be a ground and pound team in Cleveland, but ultimately didn't have the money or didn't want to spend the money to keep him. And now he's back in Kansas City. And I thought this question was pretty interesting about watching the Chiefs win Super Bowls while he was elsewhere.
It was hard, but, you know, I had to just, you know, think about, you know, the good positive things. I was so, you know, excited for, you know, Coach Reed to win multiple Super Bowls. You know, I wanted to be, you know, the guy to help him do that too. So I still got a lot of close friends on this team, and, you know, I couldn't be more excited for them to, you know, see them achieve their goals.
back with the Kansas City Chiefs, how will they use him, right? Like, that's the big question. They've lost Isaiah Pacheco. They have the new running back, Carson Steele. Of course, we know top targets are Rashee Rice and probably Travis Kelce. What happens with Kareem?
Play it by ear with him. We've got three good running backs, and so, you know, we just get him back into the swing of things, see how it rolls. I thought he had a good week of practice last week. He took the majority of the scout team reps, and looks like he's in pretty good shape. So now the next step is just getting him in the game. So he'll rotate in, and we'll see how he does.
Interesting. Life comes at you fast, but sometimes the more things change, the more they stay the same. At A-Law Radio, even as we get closer to week 4, it's Chiefs and Chargers. So first opportunity for an AFC West challenger to hand the Chiefs a loss. We have 5 undefeateds and 3 winless teams, correct? It's hard. It's hard to do both. In fact, I think it's actually harder to go winless over the course of a full year than it is to go undefeated. Case in point, the Carolina Panthers, who put Andy Dalton in, and all of a sudden they look like world beaters against the Raiders. All right, coming up, we'll look at week 4 kickoff with the Cowboys and Giants. And man, how differently these two teams are right now. Even though they're both 1-2, how differently they're seated. And how different the, can we say aura to yoga-y? How different the atmosphere or the feel around each of these teams, even though they have the exact same record. Oh, and by the way, the Panthers have the same record as well. And also, I saw this really cool moment, an exchange last week between Malik Nabers and Myles Garrett. So I wanted to make sure I told that story too. Love to connect with you at A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, this sport is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Bills have come out of the gates hot. Josh Allen looking like an MVP. Offense clicking on all cylinders. As Allen has talked about the cohesion with this unit, some connected the dots to the team being better without Stephon Diggs, but Allen quick to say, yeah, not cool, man.
You know, I know there's a lot of people talking out there. Again, I'm not trying to tear down anybody. I've loved everybody that I've played with, you know, and you don't have to tear other people down to build each other up. And, you know, we're building each other up right now, and that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to stay together as a team.
Meanwhile, the Chargers, a big game against the Chiefs Sunday. No Derwin James, though, suspended by the league with Jim Harbaugh not thrilled with the ruling of his illegal hit.
Exactly what you would want somebody that what the league is trying to get to, which is take the head out of the game. But you can't never really take the head out of the game because it's in between the two shoulders.
Checking baseball with the Dodgers' magic number to win the division down to 2. Able to hold off the Padres 4-3. Shohei Ohtani not going to pair. Tigers remain red hot. Dumped the Rays 7-1. Royals blanked the Nationals 3-0. So those two remain tied for the final wild cards. Twins ripped the Marlins 8-3 to remain 2 games back. Mariners still 2.5 back. They took out the Astros 8-1. Diamondbacks all over the Giants 8-2 as they're now tied for the Mets for the final 2 wild cards. 1 game better than the Braves. White Sox walked it off on the Angels 4-3-10. They remain with 120 losses. Phillies overpowered the Cubs 9-6. Guardians topped the Reds 5-2. Pirates 2, Brewers 1. Rangers took out the A's 5-1. Orioles outscored the Yankees 9-7. Blue Jays topped the Red Sox 6-1. And the Cardinals handled the Rockies 5-2. Mets and Braves rained out for Wednesday and Thursday as just 1 game separates those two and the Diamondbacks for the wild card race. They'll play a doubleheader Monday if necessary. College football, UNLV dealt a blow. They're 3-0 on the season for the first time since 1984, but they lost their quarterback. Matthew Sluka has announced he's leaving the team over an NIL dispute, claiming he was promised $100,000 and not paid. WNBA playoffs, Sun dismissed the Fever 87-81, win the series in 2, despite 25 from Caitlin Clark, and the Lynx roll the Mercury 101-88, win that series in 2 as well. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Runner at second, 1 out, 3-3 in the 10th. The 2-0 to Benintendi. There's a base hit. Left center. Here comes Fargo. Vargas around third, and the White Sox win. He's done it again. He is a late-inning hero for the White Sox tonight. Andrew Benintendi, left-handed pitcher, right-handed pitcher, it hasn't mattered. He's getting it done. So they take the series, and they can get the sweep tomorrow. And they mob him around second base. The final score in 10. White Sox 4, Angels 3.
Both teams played really well. Good pitching. I mean, look, they executed a perfect squeeze bunt there. I mean, like, there was a lot of good things that were happening in that game. We turned a bunch of double plays. You know, had some clutch hits. So, you know, it was an exciting win.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I love that from Grady Sizemore of the White Sox. It was an exciting win. They do manage to avoid setting the dubious record of most losses in a single season. They are still stuck at 120, which means they are tied with the Mets, 1962, for the modern major league record for losses in a season. They've got the Angels again Thursday, and then they finish up with the Tigers, which is bad news. That makes me think they're absolutely going to end up with more losses than any other team in history. Modern history, whatever, modern history, our history. Because the Tigers, they're like a heat-seeking missile right now. Tigers and Royals are tied right now, sitting in the 2 and 3 wild card spots in the American League. But they do still have competition from both the Twins and who else? Oh, the Mariners are still alive. Red Sox and Rays were both eliminated, but Mariners are still giving it the old college try, which actually is really impressive considering how badly they had fallen and had to make a managerial change. Same thing with the White Sox, right? They make a managerial change. It doesn't do a whole lot of good because their roster is abysmal, but they're sitting at 120 losses, and at least they have this to give them hope. They might not set the new record. While we're talking about baseball, we're heading into final couple days of the regular season. Just quickly, neither the American League East or the National League West have yet been clinched. So the Orioles end up with another win over the Yankees. It was like 9-7, I think. Aaron Judge had another home run, but the Orioles hopped on Pop early and were able to hold off the Yankees. And so the Yanks have not yet clinched the AL East. Orioles are still clinging to hope there. Now, they've already got a playoff spot, but of course they'd love to have that division title against the Yankees. Meanwhile, in the National League West, the Dodgers are getting closer. Shohei Ohtani with the go-ahead RBI in the sixth inning, and boy, was he pumped up. So he had a couple of RBI, but they were tied in the sixth when he hit a hard single straight up the middle, scored. I think it was Will Smith who was on base at the time, came around. Anyway, the Dodgers bullpen was able to do the trick. 101-mile-per-hour pitch by Michael Kopech, right, to strike out the last Padre. So that was a really tight game again. Padres are now 3 back in the NL West. And so we're watching those series and seeing whether or not those division titles will need every last day of the regular season. But we also know the wild cards have not yet been set. Mostly today, though, I think the focus in baseball will be on the final game at Oakland Coliseum, the final day of the Oakland A's at home, as it were. And I know the stadium's a dump, and I know they need a better facility, and I know the team has only attracted an average 10,000 fans this season, but there is expected to be a sellout for what is an afternoon game. 12:37, first pitch, local time. A lot of former A's, I mean, sold out for sure, but a lot of people wanting to be there to say they were at the last game at the Coliseum. It's been, what, nearly 60 years for the Oakland A's, and the Coliseum has gotten worse and worse, right? It needs a facelift. It needs all kinds of money that should have been poured into it long before now. It's too little too late. I do think John Fisher is disingenuous, and the league really wanted a team in Vegas, and that was kind of the aim all along. But they got to go to Sacramento first and then to Las Vegas. So it's a mess, and I feel for the fans, right? Just like I feel for the fans in Arizona who lost the Coyotes and now they're headed to Utah. Feel for the fans still in Seattle that lost their basketball team to Oklahoma City, or those of you who are reminding me about the Browns leaving and going to Baltimore, and of course Baltimore losing its team, or Houston losing its Oilers as they go to Nashville, Tennessee. It sucks. I mean, it sucks for the St. Louis sports fans who saw their football team go back to L.A. and win a Super Bowl. The fans always get the shaft. That's the hard thing. And when a team is special to you, especially if it's something that you fell in love with when you were a kid, a particular sport or a team or a uniform, it can hit even harder. And I think the Oakland fans are in a unique situation because of how much they've been through lately. So the Oracle closed, right? That was the home, the incredible home of the Golden State Warriors. They get good. They move to San Francisco. The Raiders end up leaving because the NFL doesn't want a stadium that's got dirt in the middle of the field, right? They don't want to share a stadium with a baseball team. They were bound and determined to get the Raiders out of there, and they did. So the Raiders are now in Vegas. That's two teams. And now the A's going to Sacramento for a couple of years. And so I feel like of all the fans, those fans have been beat up pretty badly, and I know many of you are feeling it. So we're feeling it with you, and we'll get all the reaction from that game on Thursday afternoon. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Speaking of Thursday, we've got week four in the NFL, and Mike McCarthy is looking at that defensive front for the New York Giants and recognizing that that's going to be a major load come Thursday night.
They're a little bit unpredictable as far as what they're doing on the edges. And Lawrence is just a dominant player inside. So I was really, really impressed, particularly the Cleveland game. You know, they really turned up the pressure in that game. And obviously the sack numbers and the hits speak for themselves.
Buy into us.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got out my handy-dandy note cards from last week just to make sure that I don't miss any of the sacks or hits. The final numbers for the Giants front against the Browns: 8 sacks, 17 hits on Deshaun Watson, and a pair of takeaways. And they only gave up 217 yards. McCarthy also says the run game is a major priority for them. They really want to establish the run. I would imagine that that's a priority just given the fact that they, as much as Dak Prescott is a dangerous quarterback, they have a hard time stopping the run. So if you can control the ball, keep it away from the Giants, who of course would like to run it, it just protects your defense from getting exhausted later in the game. Just all about running the ball and controlling the game is a positive for the Dallas Cowboys. But CeeDee Lamb is saying, hey, as players now, this can't be about the coaches. It's got to be about us.
We got to take it upon ourselves. The coaches are going to, they've done their job of preparing us for the situation, and it's on us to execute. Obviously, the thing they can do is game plan for us, put us in position, line us up, tell us where to go, what gaps to fill, what routes to run, to be physical, all these other things. But at the end of the day, when we get between those lines, it's on us.
I feel like every game is really must win, right? We talk about, and the last 2 years, we were one game off of number one seed, things like that. So I think every game has equal importance. But I think just in particular, like, I would like to get the ball back rolling again, getting back in the win column, getting to what we know best, and, get the ball rolling.
Micah Parsons tacked on to CeeDee Lamb there. Can I tell you the truth, Producer Pete? You know, the New York Giants are boring as heck sometimes, at least the ones that are in the primary positions where people want to hear from the head coach. Boring. The quarterback is like he's like a reboot of Eli Manning. Daniel Jones sounds so much like Eli Manning when he played for the Giants. They are conditioned to say nothing in a monotone voice. Boring as heck. Even Malik Nabers talking about his first Giants Cowboys game in prime time, and yeah, his answer is blah.
I mean, it's football. Game is a game. Every time I go out there, game is a game.
Yawn.
No matter what day it is, a game is a game.
Yawn. How about I can't wait to experience this rivalry at our home stadium for the first time? Yawn. At least Dexter Lawrence gave an honest answer, and one that's worthy of listening to, about what scares him. Not scares him, that's the wrong word. What's the biggest thing about the Cowboys offense that will be a load?
Dak, he's a special quarterback. You know, we got to do a good job rattling him, getting to him. You know, he has a quick trigger. So we got to do well in the back end cover and making them look at his second option, third option, and we got to do well up front getting to him.
So I'm looking forward to it because you've got a pair of teams with the same record, and yet they couldn't be on more opposite ends of the spectrum. The Giants are coming off their first win. Daniel Jones played a terrific first half. The offense was pretty spotty in the second half, but the defense did the rest. Also, Malik Nabers had a great game. Two touchdowns. Thank you, producer Pete. He's flashing too. But there was this moment with Myles Garrett that I absolutely loved. It was on NFL All Access where Malik Nabers and Myles Garrett, I think Garrett was part of a tackle of Malik, and he says to Malik, "Hey, keep doing what you're doing and be safe." And Malik's response is, "You too, sir." "Thank you, sir. You too, sir." That's how you...
You're a bad boy. Keep doing your thing.
You too, sir.
Thank you, Pete. That's amazing. I love that. So we'll see how many other players, how many Cowboys Malik Nabers refers to as sir on Thursday night. We're back after that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!